So just start asking the Lord every day, Lord, how do you see this and what do you want me to do with it? Amen? Amen. Pass out the plates. Come on, PA.
Come on. Hey,
do it.
Hey, y'all could welcome me and I'll probably do better. You know, if you act excited, you know, it's sort of like when you eat. If you're looking forward to your food, you'll like it better.
Children, you are released.
Children. Yes, Miss Lisa's class, 3 to 5. Miss Katie's class, 6 to 11. Miss Sharon's class. Oh, okay. They know where they're going. They know better than we do. Y'all know where this picture came from, right? Y'all, you're not getting tired of it. My granddaughter drew it. Y'all love it, right? As a matter of fact, for the right money, I will sell you a copy. I'll print it out on the printer you pay for, with the paper you pay for, and the supplies you pay for, and I'll sell one to you. It's important to me because I do that picture because it just gives me, in my mind, a proper perspective. God is big, and He loves us. And compared to God, the Father of the universe, right, the God of all, we're like two-year-olds. And keep that in your mind no matter what you're doing. And all we need to do, do you know why I had Camille draw this with a kid holding their grandpa's hand? Y'all know why? There's a story behind it. Me and Camille, when she was probably younger than that, you know, we're out in my driveway and we're playing, and it had been raining, and there was water down at the end of my driveway on the road. And, you know, water's like this deep. It just rained some. So we go down there, and I'm going to show her how to do that thing we all love to do, throw rocks in the water. So in the neighbor's yard, not in my yard, we get the rocks out of my driveway, and we're across the street throwing rocks in the water. Camille, and of course, she does what little kids do. She walks into the water. She gets wet. We're having a great time. And she's not really talking at this time. It's so young. Well, guess what happened? My neighbors across the street had a sheepdog-looking thing. Like, you know, it's like this tall. It's got big hair. It's white and sort of blue-colored. And it runs around from behind the house. And it's not running at us. It just runs around. And when it sees us, it starts barking. This huge, like, roar, roar, roar. And little Camille, she went like this. She went, and she took off, and her little legs are about this long then. She starts running up the driveway. And I'm like, Camille, stop. Don't. She's running back to her grandmother, right, who's in the house. And I'm like, Camille, don't do it. And I had just had my hip replaced not too long before that. And I'm like, I don't know if I could catch Camille before that dog could circle around and get her. And I got a little worried, right? And so I took off. Hop, running, struggling to catch her. And the dog didn't do that. It didn't do it. But in my mind, I said, I can't let her get anywhere near where she could be attacked by a sheepdog, because they do attack. And the Lord gave me this picture. He said, Alan, as long as you hold on to my hand, the dogs of hell can't touch you. Don't let go. Camille would not get in trouble if she would have stayed with me. I would lay my life down to protect her from a dog. So would you. That's where that picture comes from. So every time you see it, it's about you holding God's hand. Now, you know what we had last week? Randy Boyd did this great, great message, right? We really appreciated him, what he said. He talked about the three ingredients of the kingdom of God. And the number one ingredient he talked about, and if you haven't seen it or listened to it, you need to go do it. It's real, real, very, very helpful. He said the number one ingredient was joy. Joy. And you can't disprove that. Everywhere you see the kingdom, you see joy. And so he talked about choosing joy, going, voting for joy, living for joy. And then the second thing he talked about was persistent prayer, continual prayer. And he talked about what that really looks like. It really looks like holding your Father's hand. And it's deeper. It's a lifetime spent in communication and submission and yielding to God. So he talked about continual prayer. And the third thing he talked about, which was really, really very powerful, is he talked about the power in the kingdom of being thankful or grateful. Oh, yeah. Now, yeah, What did he say? She said yes. Have y'all noticed? Thank you, Steve. He's already married. He's pretending he's young. I know it's a big stretch, but you got to use your imagination, right? Isn't that true in the young people's world today? They do these extravagant things to propose to somebody. And, you know, sometimes it's a year-long planning. Google it. Go Google it and look up romantic proposals. And there's thousands of them on the internet. And some of them took a year to set up, like a year. And people and money and effort just to ask her if she would marry me. And, of course, Stephen was really excited. And she said yes. Because they do say yes. And what I want to do is, today we want to talk about yes. Isn't that funny? And what does yes have to do with anything? And so look at this, Ephesians 1 still. We're stuck here until we get it. In Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. See the hand-holding? Through our union with Christ, we have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. When you get excited, when a young man gets excited about proposing to his wife, it's so that she can become in union with him, right? In all kinds of ways. And he's excited about it. And God has done the same thing with you and me. He's proposed marriage to you. He's asked you if you want to be adopted into his family. And you know what's interesting? He did this before we were even born. He chose you before you were born. Now, I don't know how God does that. He's God. But I do know that every single one of us, he chose you. Specifically, exactly who you are, where the time period in history you were born, the family you were born in, the physical attributes you have, your mental capacity, everything. He chose you. And you know what happened when you said yes to him? The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoiced. They got excited because Jesus had the desire of his heart. You know, Stephen did a good job of faking it, but I'm telling you, God was more excited than Stephen, when you said yes to him. And that happened before you were born. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny. You know, it's maybe the most important thing in the world for you and me, for our spiritual health, for our mental health, for our place in the world to fulfill our destiny. We have to come to a place. The first thing we have to do is say yes to his choice. You got to say, yeah, I really am beautiful. Yeah, I really do have value. Yes, I am worthy. Yeah, I have a destiny and a potential. Well, Alan, how do you know I have a destiny? I read the book. I believe the book. If he says you have a destiny, you have one. And now the key is, you know, we were talking about last week about the House of Faith for Women. You guys gave to so amazingly. And Tommy and some of the ladies were here last week. And we brought Tommy up because Tommy said yes. Now, I loved his story because he said, you know, I wanted to have a men's house. I was saying yes to a men's house. God turned it into a women's house. But I'm going to tell you, when you say yes and you hold his hand, he's going to turn you wherever you want to go. Where you need to go. How about let's say that? You may not want to go there, but when you get there, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. Just hold on and say yes. Have you said yes to him? Have you said yes to him? If not, what are you waiting for? What are you, stupid? You know, I mean, that's what I feel. It's like, God, you want to give me everything. You know me perfectly. You designed me. You can put me in the place of my destiny. You know what the best thing in the world is when you can wake up every day knowing you have a purpose, knowing that you're making a difference, knowing that you're writing his story. That, how many of you like that? You know, are you excited when you wake up? Yeah, Dan is. We pay the ushers to like feedbacks. It helps a lot. Actually, we don't pay them anything. We threaten them. Right. What are you waiting on? Have you said yes to him? Because he's already calling you. He is already calling you. Are you saying yes? And it's, you know what it is? Like if I was a bride and I was getting married, right, and I was more demonstrative than I actually am, I would be, if somebody I really, 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 really wanted to be married to asked me to marry them, I'd be like, yes, 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 1,000 times yes. That's how you should respond to God, because the first yes is just the first of 1,000. Right? I think, if not all of us, everyone in this room has already said yes. The first yes. All the first yes does is set you up for 1,000 more yeses. So what are you waiting on? He already picked you. And you know what's funny? We don't like this verse, but when you finish the rest of it, it's up there, right? Yeah. That we would fulfill the plan of God. That we would fulfill the plan of God. He chose you, he picked me, he picked you, and he had a plan. And you know what's interesting is, it's the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Oh wait, I've already messed up. I'm just me. Look around me. You think it's about you? It's not about you. It's him. It's his plan. And he always accomplishes every one of his plans. Yeah, but you don't know. Listen, I still say he's right and we're wrong. And maybe you did like Camille did. Maybe you ran away from him and were getting yourself into all kinds of hot water. Guess what? He didn't have a bad hip. He could catch you. His plans and purposes will always be fulfilled. Quit listening to the facts and making them your God. Do you want the facts to be your God, what you see in the physical? Do you want the news to be your God? No. We have a God, and he's good. And his plan is always going to be accomplished. And I think that, so why wouldn't you say yes? Now, but you're still looking at yourself. You're still scared to try. So look at the next verse. Ephesians 1, well, we're going down to verse 18, not the next verse. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light, until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us. You know what? You need to let God take over your imagination. You need to let the dreams he has for you come up inside of your heart. And when you begin to dream, when you begin to give him your imagination, all of a sudden, you're going to see the beauty of what he has planned for your destiny. And you're going to begin to walk in it. But so often, we let other things fill our mind, our imaginations. We let fear, doubt, world history. Well, you can't deny science. Oh, great, that's not my God. I have a God. His name's Jesus. And you know who God's inheritance is in? It's in you. You see, Tommy, you know, it's just like you think about Mary and Joseph. Mary, she was this amazing woman. She did something that none of us can do. She said yes. That's sarcasm. We can all say yes. All she did was say yes. Well, she made herself pregnant. No, are you crazy? No, it's physically impossible. No, she just said yes. And what an amazing step of faith. There was no way in the world that was going to turn out good. No way. If she was limiting herself to the world and to what she saw, to her culture, to the law, if she was limiting herself to the reality that you can't get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. No, she didn't. She did this thing that everyone in this room can do right today. Yes. Because do you trust what God's putting in your heart more than you trust yourself? You see, I think we limit ourselves to ourselves instead of limiting ourselves to what God puts in us. Yeah, but God's given me a dream of, God's put this in my heart. This is what I care about. Say yes. And then, just like Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and He will overshadow you. And you know what's interesting? I don't know theologically where this stands, but I'm telling you, the Bible says the Holy Spirit impregnated her. He went inside of Mary and birthed something. You know, all He needs to do to do that with us is us to say yes. And then we just receive. And it's all up to Him. And where is His inheritance? The things that He wants to birth inside of you and me, give Him glory. It's His inheritance. And you know what He wants? He wants to inherit the whole world. He wants the land. He wants the money. He wants the political systems. He wants the whole world to come and worship with Him and be one with Him. Well, who's going to give Him the world? We are. One day at a time. I said yes when I didn't want to go to hell. I'm going to say yes every time. Every time. And when I say yes, He does, He brings His kingdom, just like with Mary, just like with Tommy. Throughout history, the greatest people in the world, the greatest people in history, and all the heroes in Scripture, they did this amazing thing. They all did the same thing. They just said yes. And God moved. God's waiting for you. God's waiting for you. What are you waiting on? Will you say yes? You see, there's most of us, I think all of us probably have said yes the first time. But I think every one of us have something inside right now that we have reasons we're not saying yes to. What are you waiting on? Say yes. Just say yes, right? Verse 19. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. There's the ingredient that changes everything. It takes faith. For you to say yes, you have to believe in something that doesn't exist. You have to believe in God's power is greater than your insufficiency or your lack. Or your inability, or your mess ups, or your past, or your way of thinking, or all of history. I'm amazed when I look at Paul the Apostle. In the history of the world, I don't know that there was ever a more powerful empire than the Roman Empire. And the Jewish political, religious system was just dark. Paul lived in the middle of all that. And in the middle of all of that, he makes these crazy statements about God's power is greater than all powers. God's power is greater than all governments. God's power is greater than all of history. And he stands up and shouts that and writes it, and we're still reading it today, and we still struggle with believing that God can deal with our little things. It's like, yeah, but Alan, I'm broke. Or I nobody listens to me. Or nobody cares about me. I've had this problem for 80 years. And God's not bigger than this problem. What? All He needs is your yes. Because when your yes and His power bring Him glory and bring Him honor and bring Him worship and praise. And it says, now here's what's, this is to make sense, right? Then your lives will be an advertisement of His power at work in you. Well, yeah. You will become why people praise God, why people love God, why people turn to God. When they look at you and His power working in you, it becomes an advertisement of Him. And that's God's plan, which is unstoppable. So God has this, us, just us today, it's us. And will we say yes? Will you say yes again? Again. What's He putting inside of you now? Will you say yes? Yeah, but every time I've said yes, I got hurt. He's bigger than your hurt. Will you say yes again? And here's a beautiful thing. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Now, I'm going to show you where that talks about us, because that word dead there, it just means powerless, unable, inadequate, no impetus in it. He didn't have the resources, that word for dead. See, that's the same thing we think. There's no way to get through this. I can't do that. My history, everything in my life tells me no. It's not about that. God's looking for someone who'll say yes, and then his power will come into you and give you the power to fulfill your destiny. And it's all about him. And I think that we get messed up because we think destiny, we think it has to be some grandiose thing. No, every time we say yes, he receives glory and honor. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. It's about your yes, because your yes releases his power. And that changes the world. So I love verse 21. This is where Paul just gets on his high horse about the truth. Don't believe the media. Don't believe science or history. Jesus wrote history. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. Quit putting the devil in front of God. Listen, the devil's like that dog. I could stop that dog from eating my granddaughter unless she doesn't say yes. You see, I think a lot of times we get all messed up because we're not saying yes to God, and then the enemy comes like a flood and we blame God for it. Well, I wouldn't blame Camille for running because she was so young, she didn't know any better. That would have been my fault for letting her hand go. But if she was 14 and she's running away from me, I can't catch her. And then the dog eats her. You see, it's about us saying yes. He's above everything. He is above. He's gloriously enthroned over every name that ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. He alone. I love this. I love what Paul talks, how he says this. He alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the dead church. He didn't say that. In the church. God's plan has never changed, and it's never going to be thwarted unless we don't say yes. If we don't say yes, we cut off his power. You see, needed in the church, God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ. Period. That's just true. It'll always be true. It has always been true. And in eons to come, it'll be true. He is seated above everything. And there is nothing the church needs that he doesn't supply. Guys, I know it looks like the church has become irrelevant. I know what the numbers are saying and the statistics say, but I'm choosing to believe what Paul said. My God is not controlled by people not saying yes. He's going to win, and the church is going to win, and he's the source of everything the church needs, and he is limitless. So I just love that. And now, who's the church? We are. Why is it so important that every single person sitting in a chair, occupying a seat, listening online, working in the children's department, out in the hall with the ushers, why is it so important for you to say yes? Because you are the church. I remember my friend Daryl Fish used to say, he'd say, well, they're supposed to be doing that, and they're supposed to do that. And Daryl would say, well, you are they. You know, who's they? We are the church, which means God has waited his whole, before there was time, he was waiting for us. with this huge anticipation for you, the day you were going to be born and the day you could say yes and he could release his power in you and bring glory to the Father. He's waited his whole life for you to say yes. I mean, you thought Stephen was excited. Listen, Jesus is doing backflips down the aisle. When Tommy said yes to Jesus about starting House of Faith, God was so excited. And you know what happened? Just like what happened with Joseph and Mary down here, there was a baby born. What happens when you say yes? God is going to plant a seed inside of you and release his power inside of you. And there are babies waiting to be born that have potential we've never seen. And me and you are holding it back. Not them. We are the only thing holding it back, because God in his great wisdom decided his plan was to come and live through you. Are you saying yes? Now this is real personal. You know how you can tell that you're not saying yes? You're bored. You're not motivated. You don't feel like you're ever accomplishing enough. You feel guilty. You're not energized to get up in the morning. You have no motivation to stay up late at night. You walk into a room and you serving isn't your joy. You know, Jesus showed us how you live in the kingdom. And he said, I came to serve and not be served. Are you saying yes? Are you saying yes? The simple things. Do you know that was crazy? Jesus participated with his dad's plan. He decided he would participate before he came to earth. He said, Father, good plan. Let's do it. And then, you know what God's plan was? That Jesus would be born a helpless baby, and he would grow up, and he would struggle just like we struggle, and he would grow, and he would learn, and he would serve, and he would serve, and he would do a boring job, monotonous job in lousy conditions and environments, and be, you know, he was underpaid in a town where everybody was underpaid. That's what Jesus did. And he would do that. He would serve. And, you know, for us in the church, it'd be like, well, all I ever do is wash the floors and wipe butts. But you know what? Jesus served for 30 years. 30 years before he was released to begin his ministry. I say he was in the ministry the whole time. Jesus was willing to serve and to be formed and be corrected and grow for 30 years. And some of us, serving isn't what's in our hearts. Well, I think you need to hang out with God a little more. When you hang out with God, you want to serve. And it doesn't matter if it's sweaty and hot and dirty or if it's prima donna on the stage. It doesn't matter. It's serving is what we do. And now we're his church, the body that fills. And now I want to jump to a different book in the Bible, Colossians chapter 2. I just want to do this because I just want you to read Paul's writings, read the other letters, and you see this in every one of his letters. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, here's what Paul wrote. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Now, he was writing to that to people who we wouldn't have thought were full, right? Somebody put one of those funny things you see on the internet. They put one up, and it's like, you know, if Jesus was on earth today, he'd be writing us a letter. Because most of his letters were correcting. They were taking them and correcting those churches. Well, he would write us a letter. But you know what he would write? He'd write this. In you, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And we look at each other and we think we're has-beens, we think we're nobodies, we think we're worthless, we think blah, 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 blah. And Paul the Apostle said, oh, no. He lives in you. All. And he is the head over every power and authority. What power are you going against right now? What's coming against you? What authority do you think is actually in charge in this world? I think he is. He's the head. He's over every power and every authority. In him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. What an amazing statement. Because me and you still get in independence sometimes. We get an independent flesh, don't we? We still have bondages. We still have problems. We still have weaknesses. What are you saying? Well, if you understand the gospel, you understand that what he's saying is, I set you 100% free when I rose from the dead, and now you choose who you're going to be in bondage to. You're free. And he said, you were ruled, but Christ set you free. Every one of us, nobody is not free. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You see, because there's something secret I want to let you know out of this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. You know what that word dead there means? Unable. Can't. Not to have the power to. It means when we were in bondage and we were slaves to the enemy before Jesus died on the cross. When we were that way, every one of us, all of the human race were slaves. And Jesus died for us yet while we were sinners. So that we could live in him. And he could live in us. And he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see what happened? Jesus set you free. He set us free. Mary said yes. Jesus came. And he said yes, 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 God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. For 30 years, he said yes to his Father in the most unmiraculous ways. And then at the end, 3 years later, that night in the garden, when he was going to give his life to set us free, he said yes three times. Three times. Father, not my way, but your will be done. And that day when he died, and 3 days later he rose from the dead, we were free. He set us free to say yes or no. What are you waiting on? Why are you saying no? Now, he cares. I've never seen him force anyone to say yes. But I think we all struggle with saying yes. Sometimes. I believe God has things planted inside of you that are as powerful as what he planted in Mary. I know they are because it's God planting. It's him. His plan to change the world is us. If we'll say, yes, God, put your seed in me. What's your dream? What are you imagining? What are you dreaming of? And now, faith without works is dead. I say yes, and then I take a step. And I say yes, and I take a step. And I say yes, and I take a step. And the whole time, the most powerful thing in the universe is cheering you on. And he's like Stephen when she said yes. He's so excited at every yes that you say. And he's every step. Your whole purpose was to say yes. We're the bride. We're his bride. And I'm so glad I said yes 40 years ago. And right now, I still get confronted with areas that I need to say yes in. I want to say yes. Sometimes he has to work with me. Sometimes I'm afraid that maybe I can't do it. I'm afraid that there won't be the resources. I'm afraid of the powers that be. I'm afraid of blah, 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 blah. Are you willing to say yes? What are you waiting on? He's waiting on you to say yes today. Like, I know this is just a Sunday. It's just a day. Christmas is in 2 weeks. I mean, we're excited. Christmas Eve service we're going to have here on Saturday night, 5 p.m. It's going to be a blast. We're doing a skit for the kids. It's going to be powerful. The skit may be more for us than it is for the kids, but I'm telling you, I'll just give you a heads up on it. It's going to be good. We're going to worship. We're going to sing Christmas carols. We're going to have communion and the candle lighting service. And Sunday morning, you're going to stay home and be a light wherever you go. Christmas morning, we're not having a corporate service here. You're going to take the light where you go. You be the light bearer. It'll be fun. Just say yes to God, and he will always do his part. Because just like that grandpa, he'll never let that kid go. And that's God. He'll never let you go. So what are you waiting on? What's God saying to you that you're not saying yes to yet? Because I don't care how stubborn you are, you can be as stubborn as Dana Wessel, and you're still going to say yes one day. Sorry. Oh, Dana, I thought you were out there. I'm sorry. Isn't that the truth? He loves us so much, he is not going to let you go. So you just keep saying no. God love you. You know, I'm like, no. Say yes. Say yes today. Because we need you. The world needs you and the power of God in you. And I don't know what it'll look like. It doesn't matter. If you say yes, it's up to him, right? So this Christmas, give God a gift. The gift of telling him yes. He'll be so excited. He really will. Amen. All right. Lisa, can we sing that funeral dirge? Let's all stand up. I had a song I wanted to sing today. It was an old hymn, number 34 in the Baptist hymnal. I love the song, but it is sort of like a funeral dirge. It's one of those invitation hymns we used to do when I was a Baptist. You know, like, Just As I Am. Anybody know that hymn? It has 6 verses, and we're going to sing it till one of you walk the aisles. You know? Jesus is tenderly calling. Y'all know that one? That's what I wanted to sing. I could almost sing it, but I'm not. He's calling. He's pleading with you. He's not scared. He's trying to convince you and me that he can do it. He can do it. He just needs you to say yes. Needs me to say yes. So, Father, we say none of us are out of bounds today. God, there's nothing in me that I'm holding off limits to you and to the Holy Spirit today. God, there's nothing in this room that's more powerful or has more influence in our lives than you. Jesus, we want to be a church that's known for saying yes. So open your heart right now, if you don't mind, if you want to. You don't have to. You really don't. Jesus died to set us free, not to control us. So if you want to open your heart, just open your heart. Jesus, would you show each of us that special place in us that we're holding out on? That place where we're waiting, where we're not telling you yes yet. Now, if God puts something in your heart, he's very, very kind. I just thought I could ask the prophetic team to come up and we could point out the stuff in each other's hearts. That might not be so much fun. Jesus loves you. It's good. Every time you say yes, it's good. So this morning we have 2 teams up here that want to pray with you. And there's some place you need to say yes to. Maybe we haven't all said yes to him totally yet. We haven't said, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. But today would be a great day. Give him a Christmas gift because you are his inheritance. Me and you are his inheritance. He doesn't have any other inheritance. It's in us. Give your life to him this morning. Don't put it off. Do it today. And if you have some area in your life that you're struggling with, that question just kept being in my mind. What are you waiting on? I think God cares about that question, and he will help you. He's not going to force you. He will help you. If you have a reason, he's interested in that. So you can pray with these guys up here this morning, and they'll help you see. God will speak to you, okay? So don't forget, invite people to the Christmas Eve service. It is going to be fun. It's going to be short, and at the end of it, we'll have schnapps. No, I'm kidding. I don't even know what that is. We'll have hot chocolate, coffee, and cookies and stuff, and we can have a time of just, as long as you want to hang around, we'll hang around and visit after the service on Christmas Eve, December 24th. Amen? All right. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here.